You've been in the house of the Lord. Amen. Just staying, let's sing that song, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He's my provider. Amen. Provides all my needs, everything I ever have a need of. God's always there to supply it. Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, oh my provider, oh you are more than enough for me. Oh, and you're my healer. Oh, by your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Jireh. river attended my way.
Pray.
scroll, that trump, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, Lord. Yes, and it is well. It is well with my soul. With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Raise your holy name, Lord. Worthy, Father. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We don't have any prayer requests or testimonies or any announcements, so amen. Just keep pressing on. Pray one for the other, saints. Amen. And we'll just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, God, for being so good to us today, Father God. You've allowed us to come together in this day, in this age, Father God. We know things are happening all over the place, amen. You see the things that are happening, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you, God, for allowing us to stand more securely than ever before, Father God. We just pray, God, Lord, as these things get harder and harder, oh God, Lord, that we can just stand firmer and firmer, oh Father God. And, oh, we just want to be those on the field when you come back that you find faith in, Father God. That's our desire, Father. We just pray with everybody in here, Lord, that it is well with our souls, Father God. Lord, we just pray, oh God, Lord, as we come together that you'd be glorified in the midst, Father God. As we worship you, Father, that you'd receive it, that it would be something that sounds sweet into your ears, Father God. For we only want to glorify your holy name, oh Lord. Lord, we just pray, Father God, Lord, for the tithes, the offerings, oh God, that are going to be taken forth, Father, that they would be for your kingdom, oh God, for your glory, that souls would be won by them, Father, because that's what we're waiting for, the last soul to come in, Father God. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, as you'd be with our brother Cam, Father God, that you just, our pastor, Father, that you just be with him, Father. As he brings the word of God, Lord, that you'd open things up to him, oh God, that maybe he didn't see before, Father, as he preaches, Father God, and just continue to give him revelation, God. Give him the strength, oh God, and give him the very things that we have need of for today, God. But we just want to be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, oh Lord. We love you with all our hearts, Father God. We just pray that we can have love one towards the other, Father God. That's our desire, Lord. Just have your way in this service, Father. Be glorified in it, oh Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God. Amen. Let's just sing that song, My Sins Are Gone. How many are glad your sins are gone today, amen? Where they're at the sea of God's forgetfulness, amen. As far as the east is from the west, amen. I'm glad nobody can find out how far that is, amen, because then you can't find your sins, amen. Amen.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I just tell you why. Where they are, I say. was at the old time altar where God came in my heart. And now my sins are gone.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord took full possession. That devil did depart. I'm glad.
Are you glad?
My sins are gone. Oh, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me and he tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. Well, you got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone.
Where'd they go?
Oh, they're underneath the blood on the cross.
We're together again, just praising the Lord. Amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor as we sing it? Amen. Amen. How many believe today something good is going to happen? How many come in expectation? Not just another service, but come expecting from God today. Amen. Amen.
We're together again. We're just praising the Lord. We're together again. Together again in one accord.
Sing that song, Jehovah Jireh cares for me. How many knows he cares for you today, saints? Amen. He loves you, each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me.
Sing that song. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Amen. How many are free today? Amen. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, saints. We have liberty here today. Amen. Amen.
And I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. has lifted me. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus set me free. I'm on my way. And I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm shouting victory.
Just sing that song, my chains are gone, I've been set free, amen. Amen. How many have been set free, amen?
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Chains are gone, I've been set free.
unending love of amazing grace. You got that amazing grace, just tell God you love him. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You love God? Isn't he a worthy God? Man, maybe we'll sing one more song. I just really just want to invite God here. Amen. You want God to be in your midst today? Praise God. Let's sing that song if we could. Let's sing that song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down. Amen. How many want God to rain down in your life today? Amen. God, not just today, but every day, God. I want that type of a walk with you, God. Amen. Let's sing that song. And Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend. Oh, how we need your touch again. Oh, Word said he's already here. Let's just open up our Bibles this morning. You're right in the service. We're starting pretty late here. But we only got one service, so we might as well sit back and enjoy ourselves and just really eat up the Word and just have a good time with one another. Amen. Do you love one another? Praise God. We had a passage we'd like to open to this morning. I'd like us to start with Exodus 23, verse 20. After that, we're going to go to Colossians 1:27, which we should probably about have that about memorized by now. But yet in Exodus 23:20, a little simple message this morning, but just pray to be a blessing to you. And, I just really want to eat that book, amen? I want to eat it so it makes me just like it. Amen? You eat McDonald's, you know what? You ain't going to have a lot of energy. They'll make videos about it all day long. But you know what? If you eat some nice, healthy food, you'll get strength. You'll get nourishment from that. Amen? Sometimes we believe in a God that sometimes we eat that nasty stuff and we pray over it and we believe God's going to turn it into that good stuff. Amen? Good thing we got a God like that. Amen? He can turn the unclean into clean. Amen? He can turn the unhealthy into healthy. Praise God. So in Exodus 23:20 here it says, "Behold, I send an angel before you." Now notice that word angel there is a capitalized angel. "To keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Amen. Let's turn to Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Amen. Let's bow our heads now for a word of prayer. Our most treasured and loved God, Lord, certainly, Lord, it would be worth selling all we have, Lord, and giving up every possession we own just to have you, God. We understand, God, that Jesus Christ would say, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head," God. Lord, he gave up everything, O God, so he could, Lord, be fully in the mind of God himself, Lord, and we understand he was God, Lord. But even in a flesh, God, he had to, so to say, yield into that position with Christ, Lord, or with God, Lord. So we just ask today, God, as we move into this word, Lord, would you, O God, come in the midst of us, God, dwell with us, God, and, Lord, move us into a higher position with you, Lord God. Lord, it's not about a deep word, God, or something that we have to strain to understand, God. But we want a God who can make the deep simple and can make the simple, O God, applicable for our lives, God. We just ask today, Lord Jesus, as we come before you, Lord, we're doing a restoration of the church, God. And Lord, do a restoration in the spiritual church here, God. O God, renew our minds, O God, into this word, God. And Lord, change us, God, from glory to glory, God. That is our desire today, God. Whatever glory we would find ourselves in today, God, O God, take us to a higher glory, Lord Jesus. O God, we just need you, Lord. We love you, God. And Lord, though we fall short, God, we want this God, Lord, who can what? Who can raise us up, God. Raise us, God, to more than what it looks like we can be. The world looks at us maybe as a bunch of losers, cultists, or whatever they'd like to call us, God. But we know that we are the Word, Lord. God, I pray you just work today, Lord. Touch your children, touch your bride, God. Open up their hearts, God. And may they receive for the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do I sound a little bit loud? I can hear myself all over the place. Okay. Just making sure. It's good to see the old the Valentines with us this morning. Good to see Sister Claire. Amen. Good to see Sister Erica. We haven't seen her in a little bit. So good to see everybody up in the house of God this morning. Amen. Good to see Brother Jack, that overtime worker. Good to see him pressing in. Amen. Old soldier for the Lord. Amen. But anyway, this morning we'd like to move into a thought, and we'll see where the Lord will take this. But just want to preach this morning to you. Amen. We're going to have a good service, aren't we? Amen. Have you woke up yet? Do we need to go back to song service and do a little more waking up, or how are we doing? Amen. Praise God. We had a title for this morning's sermon. We'd like to entitle the sermon, "The God in Your Midst." And I'd like to Like I said, maybe go through a few little things here and just open the little things up here, because we talk so much about the Holy Ghost, and yet the more I look at it, the more God opens up, and I see more little things in there, and it's just really something I cherish, amen. But yet he showed me a few things this morning, and we'd like to work with that thought, the God in your midst this morning, and that's what we're longing for. We want a God in our midst, amen. Now we can say, okay, the Word says He's in my midst, but you can say, I know He's in my midst, amen. He's the here and now God. He's right here amongst us, and by the grace of God, He's here to work, amen. If He's in the midst of you there, He's got to be in the midst of you for some reason. Not just to be some sort of a silent guide to your day, but He's actually there to be alive. He's there to be real. He's there to be felt. He's there to be received. And this is a type of God that we were made to have. Amen. We want to work a little bit with the Old Testament this morning, and then perhaps we'll bridge it a little bit, and knowing how timing usually is, we probably won't get tremendously far with this. I got a lot of scriptures to read. I actually don't have any quotes today, but just got a lot of scriptures, so we'll just give you the Word of God and just let you eat on that, and by the grace of God, we'll enjoy that. Amen. So notice this morning, if we would, I'd like us to go to Genesis 2:9. And a very common scripture, but of course we want to just start off here and maybe lay a little foundation for where we're going, because we have to understand that it was God's chief principle in whole creation was to express you, amen? Express Himself, but we know within the furtherance of the revelation of the Word, His desire was to manifest Himself in you, amen? You are that creation. You are what? You are the chosen vehicle that God desired to express Himself in. Amen. God, of course, He wants to show the world Himself. But notice that even after He would express Himself as Jesus Christ, that He was not done there, but His desire would be to show Himself in people who did not look naturally like Him. So notice, He gave the bomb of Himself, so to say. He brought Himself in flesh, revealed Himself to man, and they could see the express image of God. But that, now, you see, we always say, we save the greatest for last. But God, He showed Himself first, and then He showed you. In seven church ages, He showed His presence in you. He wanted the world to see a God in the midst of a people. Praise God. And He wanted the world to look at you and see a real God. Hallelujah. So notice here in Genesis 2:9, it was God's desire, we find, and it says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So notice we understand who the tree of life was. It was Jesus Christ. Amen. It was prefigure, of course. But yet there God was in the Garden of Eden. And the scripture says He was in the midst of the Garden of Eden. It was His desire to be in the midst of His people, right? And we want to express that this morning just to take you in a little furtherance that you could see where God needs to be in you. Amen? He wants to be in your midst. Amen? He wants to be right with you. Amen. And we watch the simplicity of the Word. How many times we talk about this? But where He says, where two or more gather in my name, there I am in the midst. So notice, God is not just looking for what, so to say, a God in you, but He wants that God to be expressed so much that He's not just something hiding in you, but He's something that actually is in your midst. This means in the middle or among. It's out there. It's to be viewed. It's to be seen. It's to be real. And this God is wanting to do that with the bride. Amen. So we continue on, if we could. Notice, it was his desire at the start to be in the Garden of Eden with his children, to be walking right with them. You know what I love about that? No, let me go a little bit farther. I'm going to jump, and I'm not ready to jump yet. Deuteronomy, if you would, 23:14. Now, I want us to understand there was no Holy Ghost that was given as far as to indwell a totality of people before Jesus Christ come and died and filled them with the Holy Ghost. That it was not yet happening, but I want us to see something here in Deuteronomy 23:14. It says, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee." So God is establishing a thought here. Here he is with a people without the Holy Ghost, and he says, "My desire is to walk right amongst you," amen. And we know by the message of this hour that your prophet would say, he said, Jesus Christ is walking down the aisles right now. And God would literally, what his desire is to walk right among you. And the only thing that can stop God from doing that is what? Sin. Unbelief. His desire is not just to walk there. As we see the scripture, he says here that therefore the camp must be holy. His whole desire was to walk in the midst of a camp. You know what I like about that? Is a camp is not just one person. A camp just ain't Brother Cam or Brother Dustin or anything like that. A camp is a people that are dwelling together. Amen. So we see how lovely God's purpose is. Not that it's a holy man, but it's a holy people. A camp. A joining together of people with diverse thoughts, diverse interests. Hallelujah. I was talking with a brother last night, and it was pretty interesting. We were talking, and he just kind of brought it up, and I hadn't fully moved into this thought yet, and then I found out the Lord started moving on me afterwards. But he said he was desiring, his whole desire is to get the church to fellowship with one another. And so the brother's talking to his sister, and the sister said, "Well, the problem is with me is that I just don't know how to relate to people that have so many differences about them." Because the brother says at his church there's basically no fellowship at all. As far as the people are so separated, they all love God, but they've just found their own little schedules, their own little disciplines, their own little ideals. And because they sit in that they literally can't even fellowship together. And so the brother's point was, he says that you find out that the church ends up getting into a place where there's no one to step in and move the ministry. So the ministry becomes stagnant or stagnated because the people cannot be a people that are together. And what do you think God's design was? God's design was what? That the whole camp would be holy. Now notice that he did not say that they'd have the same thoughts, that they'd all do the same things, but he said they must be together. They must be holy. And the brother told me, he said, "Brother Cam, I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking and what my response was. My response was that the greatest thing that we have in common and should have in common is the Holy Ghost itself. So when people get to a place that they exalt fishing, and like I said, I can go through the list and everybody will feel condemned, but you can literally be so involved with things outside of God that the things of God are not continually upon your lips. You know what David said? He said the praises of God are continually on his lips. Why did he say that he couldn't stand to be amongst the wicked? Because the only thing that he had in common with anyone was God. Not that he couldn't fellowship with wicked people or that, but to dwell. He could not take the design farther. Because light and darkness cannot dwell together. Praise God. Oh, come on now. Open up those eyes. Give me a little smiling. Come on. Show me you're here. Because God's here. God come down and dwell with you today. If He's here, shouldn't we act like we're here? Amen. You want a God in the middle of the camp? You want a revival and God's wanting to pour it out and you can't even look in a Sunday morning and say, hallelujah, I'm alive and well. What tells you you're alive? Because your God is in the midst of this church, hallelujah. You are called to be together. You are called, what? To overcome together. Why? Because God is your overcomer. Notice what he said. My desire is to walk in your midst, and my desire is to drive out everyone in front of you. Your enemies, don't worry. I'll take care of it because I'm going to show you something here. I'm not getting very far or very fast. But I want you to see that, of course, first we find the prerequisite for having God in the camp. You must be holy. Let him who's righteous be righteous still. Not good enough. But let him that is holy be holy still. We have to be higher. Because remember the difference between righteous and holy. Holy is divine. Well, righteousness is not necessarily that. We can look righteous, but that can be self-applied. But when you're holy, that takes God. Amen! God! How many feel a little righteous today? Well, ain't nobody raising their hand. I don't feel righteous no more. Because we should feel holy! Now ye are the sons of God, whom he hath purchased. He already purchased you. So notice this. As we continue on now, I want us to take a little scriptural trail again this morning. And I want us to see, just really look into this, because you see, God had to act the way he did in the Old Testament. And a lot of times we put that beside God and we say, God, I just really don't understand it. But God's whole purpose was even to dwell in the midst of a people without the Holy Ghost. But they had to express his law and they could not express it perfectly. So God had to what? He had to isolate his presence. I'm going to show you. Let's go to Exodus 23:20. So God, of course, drags them out of Egypt. And when he drags them out of Egypt, we find that the scripture, you say that might be a little bit of a caustic word. That's okay. Because you know what? A lot of times we find God dragging us along. God's behind us, pushing us with a bulldozer. He couldn't lead us like a lamb. A shepherd leads a lamb. He's got to drive us. And that's the problem. You want a real God, and God's walking right up here, and you won't follow Him. So God says, you're a son or daughter of God. All right, you want to play that game? We'll go right ahead. And He what? He starts pushing you. So notice now in Exodus 23:20, He says, behold, now He's talking to Moses here, and He's telling Moses about what He's going to do. And He says, behold, I send an angel. The word capitalized, angel. Before thee, to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. So God's coming right out and saying, okay, I'm going to send the angel. And he's going to get you right where you need to be. Now let's go a little bit more into emphasis here in the 21st verse. It says, beware of him. Notice, this angel, you must beware of him. Seems like a pretty special angel now, doesn't it? Continuing, and obey his voice. Provoke him not. Special angel, isn't it? For he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Amen. So what? This angel is the name of the Lord. It's a capitalized A. It's the messenger of the covenant. Okay? Let's continue on here. If we would, turn your Bibles. Acts 7:35. See what's going on here? So God says, I'm going to send an angel before you. He's going to be with you. But don't beware. This angel don't play around. Why? Now, why is that important? Because remember what your prophet said. Anytime you come into the presence of God, sin is what? Sin becomes apparent. Said you can feel all day like you ain't a sinner, but when you come into the presence of God, it exposes everything you are. This angel, well, remember when Isaiah come into the presence of God, what? He said, whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell with an unclean people. We don't have nothing that Isaiah was this great sinner, but because he come into the presence of God, remember, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He said, look at me, I'm a sinner. So now, Acts 7:35 says, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. What angel was that? It was God himself. Amen. The angel that came, your prophet said, it was the pillar of light. He brought them out. After that, he had shewed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. With the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give to us. Oh, hallelujah. The lively oracles are being revealed to you this morning. Paul, or what? I think this is Stephen. Stephen didn't say. He didn't say that they were dead oracles. He didn't say they were quiet oracles. He didn't say they weren't fun oracles. He said they were lively oracles. Now, how How could something lively not make you lively? Right? You get a basketball into the lively hands of Brother Ty. He's going to do everything in his power to make you lively. Yeah. If you thought Ty was good, you ought to see Brother Caleb go. He's bringing revelation. We're talking about something. He said, well, I feel like we need to go out and throw a frisbee or something. And he makes it tie in so perfect. But he has a way of working the word. So what? Not saying the word, but the word to express his desires. Wait till the word professes from that. Hallelujah. I look at that and say, oh my Lord, this brother's smart. Praise God. These are lively oracles. What can you do with the lively oracle yourself? But notice, it was the angel, God himself, dwelling with the children of Israel. His desire to be in their midst, to fight their battles for them. To what? Remember the scripture? To take them all the way to the promised land. So we find out that God, he sets this thing up. It's actually starting to look pretty good because God is talking about how good he's going to be to the people. And in Exodus 23:22, going back, it says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice. So if you can listen to this God, he says, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. You don't have to worry about being the great adversary. God himself is that adversary. Why do you think we're looking at this world right now? Everything is getting ready to close down on you. Don't you understand? You need a God in your midst. It's your only hope. If you can't obey the hand of God, obey the voice of God, then how is God going to protect you? We sit here, we won't even let the word phase us. We won't let it move us. And the whole time, God is bringing this word. And he's saying, I'll fight for you. I'll stand and be an adversary to your adversaries. I'll be an enemy to your enemies. And we say, God, I'm enjoying Laodicea too much. Oh, God, I know it's coming. But we never transform ourselves into the position. It's now. We always make God, this revival, a future thing. But what you don't understand is you're limiting the very ability that God gave you to press into this anointing. It's like I was telling the saints yesterday. I watched that Lakewood revival. You're talking about some crazy stuff them people were doing. But you know what? They had faith that God was in the camp. So cancer was being healed. Sicknesses were being healed. Lames were walking. All this stuff. And it was done by people who are sitting there drinking margaritas and smoking cigarettes. Are you telling me that God can move people that are completely lost in unbelief better than he can move the people with the revealed word? That God, it's easier for God to move a sinner than a saint. Oh, hallelujah. Because what was that? God in their midst. Sure, there's carnal impersonations. Sure, there's wickedness there. But you can't say that God did not inhabit the praise of his people. Because I ask you right now, what's the difference between them and the children of Israel? Nothing. Israel, they worshiped other gods. Israel, they what? They were profane. Israel, they were stiff-necked too. And here we have the revealed word. And our lives are so holy. But God cannot be found in our midst. Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Oh, we're having a good time today. Look at the amens rolling through. So we find that God, sorry church, he wants to fight all of your battles. He wants to destroy all your adversaries, Brother Freddie, everyone else. He wants to lead you till you're perfected. He wants you in the promised land. He wants to do all of that too. But you see, we're having a problem getting ourselves out of the way. Because I want you to see what God does here. If we could, let's finish that portion of scripture there very quickly in Exodus 23:23. He says, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." He wants to cut off all of your enemies. "Thou shalt not bow to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them." You want to talk about a total overcomer? God made you to totally annihilate the devil. But the problem is, we're trying to annihilate him too much ourselves. Oh, we just don't want to annihilate. So continuing, he says, "And quite break down their images." You know what? God told them, don't leave the images even sitting. Destroy them. Get rid of them. Whatever you worship today, you got to get rid of it. You see, God, it was so serious with God. He said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Better to lose your eye than to lose your soul. If your hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better to lose a hand than to get thrown body, soul into hell. See, God's word has not changed. His design has not changed. The only thing that has changed is our conception of what truth is. And like I said, this is what amazes me more than anything, even in my own life, is how simple this is, but how hard it is to fulfill this. Hey, this guy's pretty tough. He ain't no match for my God. And the next second you go, whoop. Oh, I just gratified him again. Hallelujah. But there has to come a time where you throw yourself down and say, God, I can't do this anymore. So, we see God promises him. He says, okay, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be with you. Don't worry. I'm going to fight all your battles for you. All you got to do is be holy. So let's take this a touch farther. Deuteronomy 9:5. Told you got a lot of scriptures. Says, now, not for thy righteousness, or for thy uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now notice we see something here. God is saying what? He's saying you're not righteous. I didn't choose you because of that. Not because you're a great number. Not because of any of that. But he said, look, he says, because of the wickedness that they're doing. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about driving them out of the covenant land. So God had promised them that land. That land was to be holy. And because the unbelievers were in that land, God was going to drive them out, because the land that he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there was what? There was wickedness in that land. God just didn't want the people there. He wanted the holiness of them people to what? That was the only thing that land was to express. So you see why? If you got the Holy Ghost, you have to express the nature of Christ. Isn't that ironic? Because notice, he said, Israel, I didn't choose you because you were righteous. And then he says, I'm driving out the Perizzites, Hittites, all these, because they're not righteous. What's the difference? The covenant. They were the covenant people. God promised it to them. Why? Because in God's mind, they would be perfected in that land. You can't get away from God. That's why, you see, and I believe I might have been telling Brother David this yesterday. This has been my hardest thing for the last 4 years. In determining the Holy Ghost, my fight, my battle, is that if the Holy Ghost is in his people, everything that the Holy Ghost should be, by the word, should be in that people. Not one thing lacking. So when's the last time God did something here? Oh, don't worry, I ain't throwing you into hell. I'm trying to throw you into heaven. Why? Because you have to see, I've got the Holy Ghost. Or at least I say I do. If I say I do, God should be here. The same things that he did here, he should do here. And I said, I have these message brothers and all this other stuff come up and say, well, you see, well, all the rest of this stuff is except for healings. Healing was the first thing. He filled them with the Holy Ghost. We find the first thing that's coming out of them is miracles. Right? Walking to the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Rise in the name of Jesus Christ. When they had that Holy Ghost, they could not help but to what? To show the power of God. But that was a holy camp, wasn't it? Oh, I'm taking in a little path here. I better not jump too far ahead of myself. Find myself getting to the punch before I get to the punch. So notice here, if we could, he says in finishing Deuteronomy 9:6, he tells them, okay, you're the covenant people, this is you. And he said in the sixth verse, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. For thou art a stiff-necked people. I can't give it to you for your righteousness because you're stiff-necked. Well, what's a stiff neck? You are stubborn. Because what? A neck is made to move in every direction. Right. Except for the backwards one. Let's not go into that subject. But your head is meant to move a full 180. So if you're stiff neck, you can't move it. You only move in one direction. Because remember, why does... Now notice this. The body is not meant to move the head. It's not. The head is there to what? To make the neck move. So the problem is, when the head can what? The head has to tell the body to move it. It's not the right design. The head wants to move freely by itself. It doesn't want the body to change its direction. It breaks natural law. Right? You got a broken neck, the body has to move everything. Your body, the body of Jesus Christ, is not made to move the head. The head was made to move with or without the body and look every direction that it needs to go outside. But notice, it can only move forward. It can't look backwards and move it backwards. They all have to be looking forward in a forward way. See how the design is? I pray that's all right. That's not my notes. But you see, Israel was stiff-necked. Body, always trying to move the head. They complain. They murmur. The word stiff-necked, actually in design and Strong's, it says one of the thesaurus words for it is actually to be stubborn. Do what you want to do. So stiff neck means you're always doing what you want to do. Not what God wants you to do. You're doing what you want to do. Okay? Let me see my time here. Come on, somebody's got to say, preach, brother! Preach! That's good. Preach! Thank you, brother. Knew my deacons would have my back. All right. Another word for stiff neck is headstrong. So now, let's move this a little bit here, if we can. So God sends them the Ten Commandments. And of course, when he brings Moses down from the mountain, that they said, we hear a noise of war in the camp, and we find out that they had a molten calf and they were worshiping it. Now I wanted to turn to Exodus 32, verse 8, if we would. We're coming a little bit of a direction here. Exodus 32, 8. Don't you love the word of God? It says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. He just told them, I'm going to send the angel. He's doing everything for you. And they already turned aside because Moses disappeared for 40 days. They have made a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be the gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So God does 10 plagues. kills Pharaoh's firstborn and all the firstborn of Egypt and spares them. And then Israel, when they get out there, Moses disappears only for 40 days. They could turn around and says it was actually the gods of Egypt that got us out of here. Even though that was the gods that God destroyed. Sounds pretty reprobate now, doesn't it? So continuing, he says, ninth verse, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. So he's calling them stiff-necked again. Now therefore, let me alone. Now notice, he said, I've seen this people. He didn't say he's seen Moses. He didn't say he seen Joshua up there with Moses. He said, I see the congregation. Now, I ain't trying to say big holy me. I want you to see something. Now, therefore, let me know that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. So God is what? He's saying, Moses, stand aside. I'm killing everything and everyone. And I'm going to make you a great nation. So, 11th verse. Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? So Moses says, why are you doing this, God? You brought them out with a mighty hand. You did all that, and now you want to destroy them. So Moses continues to talk. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. So Moses says, you'll glorify Egypt if you do that. That you just brought them out to kill them all. He stood in the gap for a stiff-necked people. What was it? A type of the redemption of Jesus Christ. He had to stand in the gap for a bunch of stiff-necked people. Stubborn. Obstinate, headstrong people. So notice, 12th verse. Wherefore should the Egyptian, 13th verse. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And let me ask you, were these the seed of God? You know it's a mixed multitude, so I'm not asking a trick question. But he wanted to destroy all of them and start fresh with Moses. But what? All the people were the same. But God anointed the prophet to stand in the gap because there is seed there. Remember? This is the same God that you're talking about that said, slay all the Amalekites. Woman, child, beast, kill everything. Hold on. I know we're not mourning people. Let's do our best. Because you know what? It's the afternoon now. Time for you to wake up. Shake your brother. Oh, he. Oh. Amen. Oh, I want God. Come on, church. What are you going to do when they're after you? I ain't talking about bad boys. I'm talking about good boys. We're talking about saints here. We got to be ready to fight. If you can't fight in a church service, how are you going to fight when Johnny Law comes after you? When the Catholic Church comes after you? How are you going to fight? You're supposed to say, I'm only going to fight because there's a God in my midst. He promised to fight for me. He didn't promise to fight for you while you were asleep. He said, those that sleep, sleep in the night. He cometh as a thief in the night. He said, watch, therefore, lest the Lord find you unaware. So we see him standing in the gap for the people. I'm coming, I know I'm getting slow. I'm just so slow in getting somewhere. I'm almost like the prophet you bleed, right? Come on, hey, 60 years ago. Come on. Well, if you had the anointing he had, well, what's holding anointing back? This is the bride coming of Christ. Where's Christ? Here in the bride. Who can bring Christ here? The bride. What's God's stipulation? Holiness. And you find out God didn't choose you because you're righteous. God didn't choose you because you're great. God, what? He called you to make you known under the wickedness that you now experience. Your failures, your shortcomings, all the ways that you have let down on God, He is still to be magnified amongst you. This is our promise. Now let's move a little bit into this now. Exodus 33, verse 1. So we see that God, He pretty much wants to destroy them because of the molten calf and so forth, Ten Commandments. And God ends up saying a few things to Moses here. This is, to me, one of the saddest things that I see God doing. Because remember, what's God's desire? His desire is to be expressed, to walk in the midst of the camp. So notice here, Exodus 33:1. He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and get up hence, thou and the people which thou have brought up from the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee. Now wait a minute. In Exodus 23, we find out that there's an angel, a covenant angel, a capital A. And now, because they transgressed the commandments of God. Now God says, okay, before I send an angel now for you. But now He's not saying a capital A. He's saying a lowercase a. Which means it is not the angel. So now it says, and I will drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite. So notice, the covenant is still the same. When He said there, I'll drive out all the inhabitants. We see right here, He'll drive out all the inhabitants. But we're going to find one difference. God did not let go of the covenant. Moses cried out. God wanted to change it because they did not have Him as their God. But God allowed a man to mediate between them. And He brought what? He brought repentance. But now God, He's changing the course now a little bit. This should be interesting to you, okay? Should be. Exodus 33, verse 3 now. He says, Okay, now remember, he says, I'm gonna deliver all these people up for you. And he says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now notice, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. So God has to send a different angel because he can't dwell in the midst of them. And why not? Semicolon, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. So God still loved them. God still gave them the land. But God had to send another angel because they weren't a holy people. They were stiff-necked, always wanting to do what they were wanting to do, always wanting to be what they want to be, always making their own schedule. They wouldn't let God be their angel. So God is literally changing the whole pattern. His desire to take a people, walk right into the promised land, destroy everything, and what? Establish a kingdom. But he can't, because the people he's chosen, he can't even be in the midst of them. He said what? That's what he said. He said, I can't stay in their midst, because if I do, I'm going to kill them. What's the problem? Are our actions becoming of a Christian? Is your life worthy of the gospel? We say, God, walk down these aisles. God, be here. But notice, God has to send an angel because the congregation is not worthy for him to walk amongst them. Oh, we're quiet now. Every eye's open. I ain't even seen a person yawn in a minute. So the whole thing is what? Not that God couldn't speak through the prophet and get the message to them, but he just couldn't walk amongst the congregation. Do you realize what this is saying? God doesn't just want to be in a prophet. He's wanting to be in the midst of the whole congregation. So notice this as we continue on. Fourth verse. It says, and when the people heard this, now I'm not going to go into who that angel is because I don't know who that angel is. One place in 47, your prophet said, he said it's just like the angel that God sent to Brother Branham. He said he sent an angel, a 6'2" angel with hair down to his shoulders. He said that was the same way it was back then. But outside of that, I can't find nothing. So I ain't going to say nothing. For all I know, Moses was that angel. I don't know. Wait a minute! So, continuing, he says in the fourth verse, he says, and when the people heard these evil tidings, wait a minute, they still hold the same covenant. They're still going to that land. They're still ordained to overcome. But the scripture says it was evil tidings. Well, what was so evil about it? The God they claimed to serve found them too unholy to dwell with them. So notice what they did. They mourned. Oh God, if we could just catch that you're not in our midst, Lord, like you're supposed to be. And if we could mourn. Notice also it says, and no man did put on him his ornaments. So when they were happy, they wore ornaments. ain't talking that it looked like a Christmas tree. The only thing I can find that relates to this is I believe, as King Saul said, I believe when he's killed, they said that the women, the maidens, they took the gold ornaments off of their attire. But they placed ornaments on their attire to show they were victorious, to show they were happy. They were adorned with objects to show that they were overcomers. They had an outward expression of the victory that was on the inside. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be with an ornament of praise, adorned with worship, adorned with love, adorned with the fruits of the Spirit. We see what happened when they found out that God didn't want to be in their midst because they were so unholy. They started crying. And they took their ornaments off. The men took their ornaments off, it says. They started crying. God, we're not even good enough to dwell with us. Fifth verse. The Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. Say, oh, look at how righteous I am. Look at my ornaments. Look how good I can talk. Look at this or look at that. God says, throw all that stuff on the ground. What do you think he's going to do with all these revivals that have such a wicked carnality? You know what? They're putting on an ornament of praise, but God will cast it down. Because there's no substance behind the anointing. So, I know it's starting to get hard now. And the children of Israel stripped themselves off of the ornament by the Mount Horeb. I want to jump down to the 12th verse, Exodus 33:12. And it says, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. So this is right after they're rejected. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. So he didn't even know who the angel was. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So God said, I know you, Moses. Okay? So he says to Moses, let's read the 13th verse. It says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, grace! If I have found grace! Shew me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So what was Moses' cry? I see you rejected them, but how can I take them up where you want to go when I don't know nothing? Says, if I have found any grace, he was looking for grace. What was his plea? That I may know thee. Well, come on. You want to get down to ABCs? Continue. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. So wait a minute. See what God's doing here? So now, he's taking his presence from the midst of his people and putting it on one man. Because And we find that this one man was crying out to him, saying, I want to know thee. So, and I will give thee rest. Type of the Holy Ghost. And he said unto him, if thy presence go with not with me, carry us not up hence. So what? He said, God, the only way that I can go anywhere is if your presence leads me. I can't even move if you don't tell me to move. It does not get any simpler than this. What's our problem? Where are we falling short? We just don't want God to do everything for us. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay? So now God has to deceive you, see? He changes the ministration. He wants the whole people to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a holy people. They said that. You're a bunch of stiff-necked people who do everything you want. You don't consider me. Moses cries out, but God, I want to know you. God said, I'll give you the rest. So now God tells him again, he says, go up to the mountain and I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments again. Exodus 34, verse 8. Said, Moses made haste and bowed his head, this is when he comes down, towards the earth. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. So now he's interceding again. Say, God, go among us. He's not saying, God, go with me. He said, God, now what was it? God sent Moses to get the word. And when Moses got the word, the people had already moved into spiritual fornication. So now the people mourn. They weep. And God tells Moses, I'll be with you. And Moses goes, gets the word again. Because what happened? The first time they crucified the word. And now the second time, Moses comes down and says what? He says, be among us. Go among us. Now notice, he does not change anything. He says, for it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. He was standing in the gap for a stiff-necked people. And notice them. God doesn't leave Moses hanging. He says to Moses, he said, 10th verse, behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Thee means you, not thou. Notice, observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I will drive out before thee Amorite, Canaanite, Hittite, Perizzite, and Hivite, and Jebusite. So now, I will drive them out. Observe, or take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. So now, but he's telling him again, When you go in this land, make no covenants, because there'll be a snare right in the middle of you. It's a lot of word this morning. Oh, boy. And he says, but ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. That's the problem. We still have a jealous God. And if you want to serve this God, he's jealous. He wants all your love, all your affection. He wants everything you are. And if you can't give it to him, he what? You're setting yourself up. Because you are born and made to follow this God. So now, see what it is? God made his voice so he had to speak through a prophet. Moses cried out. God said, still, I'll see to your place. But you look and it's constantly, prophet bringing the word, prophet bringing the word, prophet bringing the word. Until the acts outpouring. And what did that do? It put God in the midst of them. It did away with all the stiff-necked. Why? Because it moved with the same thought that it did with Moses. It was for a people that wanted that God. It was for them that wanted to know him. We sit here. Oh God, it's time for the rapture. It's time. You better find God. He wants to dwell. Because notice what he did in Acts. What he wanted to do with Israel, he did the same thing with the Acts church. He made them one accord. That was his whole desire. One accord. And in one faith to God right there. Notice our purpose in all this. You find in Romans 8, 9, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit God of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies that dwelleth in you. So he's talking about a God dwelling in you. If that God dwells in you, when you get together with someone else, that the Spirit of God dwells in. What? One holy, two holy. Where's the righteousness? In the Holy Ghost. Why can't we get along? Ooh, there's a problem. First Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temples of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Second Corinthians 13:3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. You want a proof that God is in me. Not saying in me, just saying what the Paul said. He said, which to you word is not weak. Amen. Now notice his connection. He's saying the proof of Christ. You want to see it speaking in me? Because to you word, towards you it is not weak. He says, but is mighty in you. You want to see that I've got the Holy Ghost? You want to see that the Word's coming from God? If it is coming from God, it should be mighty in you. This is what Paul's saying. So, I don't know if Brother Cam's preaching the Word of God. Well, you have a problem not finding that to be the Word of God. But how is it to show the same Word that projects from me is mighty in you? How's it mighty in you? It shows the reception of that Word. It's there. Oh, hallelujah. You get excited about the epistles. You'll read it and say, oh, hallelujah. Well, you know what Paul's saying? When he wrote the epistle to the Romans, when they received that Word, they're reading that Word, that letter he wrote, and they're saying, oh, glory to God. Because the Word that was coming from Him, it hit their Word too. They were in one accord. Brother Cam's preaching a sermon. No, the sermon must come from you. The same Word that comes from me that's mighty, it must come from you being mighty. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That's what I say. What's your cry today? Yeah. Is your cry, oh, God, let Brother Cam stop. I'm tired. Or is it, oh, God, I want to see God in the midst of this camp. Yeah. Hallelujah. Lord. He says, for though, fourth verse, he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. What does that mean? That means you have to yield. That means you have to be weak in him. I need Cam Smith to go. You got to go, church. You got to go. We should be the proof of the zombie apocalypse. I can't say it right. Because you know what a zombie is? It's something that has no control. It's lost its mind. Uh-oh, this is going to stir up some problems. I ain't saying that we're that. I'm saying God says, say that, and you say that. You're not a zombie walking around without purpose, but the purpose himself is in you. But the problem is, God said the whole congregation must be holy. You can't be holy. You don't have the ability to be holy. The Holy God must possess and make you holy. Hallelujah. Because notice, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. By the power of God towards you. Towards you? What's coming from you? Brother, sister, what are you showing your brother, sister today? Paul said that when they seen him, they seen the power of God to them. Are you packing the goods, brother? Because when I look at Brother Simon, I should see the power of God. When I look at you, I shouldn't see a lack. I should see what? the power of God.
Because
if you see a lack, it's showing what? You ain't weak enough in God. Huh? So notice he says, fifth verse, examine yourselves. Oh, is the Holy Ghost preaching today or what? I hope you're looking at the word that Paul wrote, just like the epistles. You're saying, oh, hallelujah. He says, whether ye be in the faith. Wait a minute. That's the proof of the faith? You know what? I talked to that neighbor last night. And he told me one thing. He said, you know how I know who's a Christian and who's not? I said, how? He said, when I see all these big shots and all these people who think that there's something, he said, I know they ain't got an ounce of God. This comes from denominational. He said, but when I can see a real humility, he said, then I know that there's something different. Well, what did he just say? He said, when you see somebody stiff-necked, whoa! He says, ah, yeah, not much of a Christian. Yeah, they might go to church, they might do this, but yeah, really not much of a Christian. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. I don't need you to prove me. I need to prove myself. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So he's saying, okay, you've got the Holy Ghost. One, you better be showing power. Examine yourselves. Then he says, know you not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you? He's saying if you don't know, you're reprobates. Come on, this ain't theology. Just read it. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? You need to know this. That God is in you.
Amen.
Except you be reprobates. Don't you see why this is coming down to the fact that you have to know what you have? Because if you don't know what you have, it's the mark of apostasy. Because why? You have to show that God is in your midst. I ain't talking about some anointing, because you know what? Anybody can do that. I'm talking about holy, the love of Christ coming from you. So, finishing off, sixth verse. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. So notice what he's saying. He's saying the problem is you don't know who you are. What he's saying. Because notice in the sixth verse he says, but I trust that ye shall know, that you're going to know that we are not reprobates. You got to know who we are. So here we stand. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Here we are saying, God, I know what's coming, God. I know what's coming, Lord. Examine yourselves. Do you know that Jesus Christ is there? Do you know that the word you're eating is the word of God? Because the same thing that's bringing that word to you should be mighty up in you. You see why we have to have the same vision? If you don't believe that God's going to send a revival, how's God ever going to send one?
Well, I don't believe, brother, that's wrong.
You got to know that God wants to do something in your life. And you got to be willing to drop your little stiff neck. I said there's plenty more I can say, but I know I've been living long. Not too long at all, actually. I started late, really late. Started 11:15. I'm only preaching now at 15. Oh, hallelujah! Don't worry, the buffet will hold out. What did Stephen say? He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. So there they were, the Holy Ghost right in front of them. He said, you're still stiff-necked. Okay? I ask you, in closing, are you at a place that you're stiff-necked? Do you still do everything you want to do? Is it still all about you? Or are you doing everything you can to let everyone else see the power of God in you? Are you starting to work into the place that God, I know you've took on me. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 8 says, now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. Hezekiah was talking to them that day. So what? Stiff-necked? Yep. Got to yield. So how many be willing to say, God, I think I'm a little stiff-necked. I can be a little headstrong sometimes. Yeah, I tend to do things that I want to do a little bit too much. I've got all my things all planned out. But God, could you open me up, God? This is the whole purpose why He gave us the Holy Ghost. So He could control you just like He controlled Moses. So that He could say, just like He said to Moses, be a God unto them. That He could say unto you, be a God unto them. Lowercase g. Let's stand. The reason why you talk about these things is that you find out that they were so stiff-necked that God couldn't even dwell with them. Is Laodicea any different? We can't say we're void of the affections of Laodicea. We can't say that we've moved past these things because we still see it in our own personal lives if we just judge it, if we examine ourselves. So, know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know who you are in Jesus Christ? Or are you reprobates without a cause, without knowing who you are? Without knowing what's going on around you. Oh, church. You say, oh, God, I know you're going to do something. Amen. Why can't we say, God, I know the whole holdup. The body's trying to move the head around just a little bit, way too much. I love all these things more than you, and I certainly love my own plans a lot better. You know, it's the truth. I see nobody breaking down the door to get up here and pray. I don't see nobody trying to do this stuff. I know. Let's point the fingers. We're all guilty. But when are you going to take the challenge? Saying, God, you want to be in me, with me, even in me. Why did John 14 say that? With you, even in you. With and in. Sounds like a pretty workable program, doesn't it? You know you're bride. All of us, we have this deep down thing that says, I'm bride. But what you got to do? We just got to quit being so stubborn. Quit doing what we want to do. Quit getting the pleasure from the things that we get so much pleasure from. I bragged to my wife. I said, honey, I said, I've hardly got on the news in the last week and a half. And my wife's like, wow. And you know why I'm like, oh, hallelujah? Because I love looking at the news. I love it. I do. And I found that it has become an obstruction between me and God. Because it doesn't make me think about anything good. There ain't nothing good up in there. But where's your baby at? What do you love him so much? You know what? Never had a problem with it before. Now all of a sudden I kind of got into it. Now I got to fight out of it. And I'm finding that getting out of it is so much harder than what I was to go in it. There's a craving in there. That it's like a fleshly craving. I know it is because I'm fighting it. You know it's the truth. Oh, I ain't saying you know it's the truth in me. You know it's the truth in our own lives. We're so stiff-necked. We want grace to cover everything. But that's not how it works. The Holy Ghost made them live holy. All you're showing is that you don't want the God in the midst of you. The one that's supposed to be in you. Hallelujah. I'm the bride's revival church. So I ask you this morning, how's your neck feeling? Spiritually. Are you the one moving God? Are you the one that shows God what to do? Are you in a place that God tells you everything? The head is free to move wherever it wants to move. It's not stiff anymore. Or does the body try to control? Bow our heads. Church, if you got any Holy Ghost about you, what does the Word say to you? Is this Word mighty in you? Hallelujah. Or is this just something that, yeah, Brother Cam is preaching our long sermon? Church, these sermons won't always come your way. We've got to get to a place that we examine ourselves and saying, am I reprobating my thinking? Or do I know that God is leading me? God's telling me what to do. And it's right in one accord with His Word. And it tells me who I am. Hallelujah. It's not time to point fingers. It's not time to say everyone else is wrong. It's time to come to God. Take our ornaments off. Sit down saying, God isn't in our midst. Let me take my ornaments off. Let me mourn a little bit because it's my fault. He made everything and I just don't want to. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, You've showed us, God, through the prophet and through the Word of God, how hard it would be to follow this simple Word in this day. How few there would be that would find it. And God, as we have such a lovely group of people here, I don't care what anyone in here says. It's a church full of love. It's an imperfect church. But I see, oh God, the desire to love. God, we're not a bunch of victims here, God. We're a bunch of people, Lord, who are able to examine ourselves And to find that the fault ain't our brothers and sisters. The fault is us. God, we're stiff-necked. We're trying to do too much. And God, when you called us to be in one accord, we've let off. We got too much of our own mind. We haven't let the Holy Ghost, His will, take focus in our minds. God, I pray this morning, Lord, You would be the focus of those predestinated ones sitting here, God. Those who are ordained for a rapture. Those who are willing to take that stand right now. God, we examine ourselves right now. God, I believe, God, I can say in my life right now, I'm waiting to bounce and I'm found wanting. God, I need more, God. I need more yielding, God. I need more of a God I can hear from, Lord. A God that'll talk to me. A God that'll show me who I am. God, I don't want to be found a reprobate in the shortcomings that are on our way right now. God, forgive me of my own personal leadings. Forgive me of the things I want to do. God, move me into accord with Your word. Move this body into accord with Your word. God, I'm willing, oh God, knowing that we have a great shepherd today, throw myself in the midst of this congregation and say, God, we are the congregation. There's no holy man here. There's just a holy God. And God, we need You walking in our aisles. We need You telling us who to talk to, what to say, when to do it. God, forgive us. Take us to those higher realms. Forgive us of our sins, our unbelief. Unbelief ain't some sort of sin you do, Lord, a lot of times. It's just a fact we don't want to do what You want us to do. Just like Balaam. God, help us today as we leave this place. As we get ready, Lord, to spend a little more time worshiping. A little more time thinking upon our ways. God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Come to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ, wanting that covenant angel to be in our midst. Take us, God, holy now. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we pray. Amen. Need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you today. The only reason you're stiff-necked is because you don't yield, church. You don't want to do what God wants you to do. Let's pray that God be with us. As we worship, let's dedicate that song to God. Let's sing unto the Lord. A real love song. Make Him a real treasure to us. Believe that God is meant to speak to us, meant to show us love. Don't make your baptism of naught. Don't make a false witness of a baptism. Because though pretty much everyone here has been baptized, our actions don't show it a lot of times. God, help us, Lord. Make it real. Let's sing that song. I love that song so much. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Let's Brother David come. We pray. Be happy to pray with you. I know it's a little hard one, but we need a hard one. God's been so good to us. We have a work. God is going to walk in the midst of this camp. I guarantee it. Don't let God chase you away. Don't sit here expecting God to do something later. He's a real God. Something inside of you says it, let it be real. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Holy Spirit, come make us new. We turn our eyes, we turn our eyes from evil things. Cast down our idols, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts.
Take my way.
Righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need.
I need your righteousness.
Oh, righteousness. Righteousness is what you want from me. Take my heart and take my heart and form it. Take my mind. Oh, Lord, transform it. Take my will. Conform it to to yours, oh.
that song, Make Me More Like Thee, Lord Jesus, amen. How many just want him to be more like him, amen? How many just thank God for that message, amen? It's good for us, saints. That's what God wants for us, amen.
Make me more like Thee, Jesus, make me more like Thee. Oh, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like Thee. Jesus, just make me more like Thee. Lord Jesus, make me more like Thee, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like Thee.
One more time, make me more.
Just make me more like Thee. Oh, Jesus, make me more like Thee. Oh, and give me a heart that filled with love, and make me more like